You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. This is episode 34 of season 3, the Cubs sweep the Stros. Don't forget to listen, download, review, most importantly, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on the socials, Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, or email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. Well, Crowley, another day to fly the W over at the Federal Landmark. How you doing?
Man, I was at the game last night. Out in the bleachers. It was cold, but you know what, man? When you win, it doesn't matter. And seeing the Cubs sweep the Astros after so many years of just the Astros being so dominant, this was a fun one.
Absolutely, it was fun. It was today's game was really interesting. Let's walk through them like we always do, one at a time. We'll go back to the game against the Astros, J.P. France on the mound for the Stros, and Jordan Wicks on the hill for our Cubs.
Yeah, the Astros changed their probables. They moved France up to pitch Tuesday instead of Wednesday, but that didn't work out too well for him. In the bottom of the first, Ian Happ double, and Cody Bellinger hit his fifth home run of the season to put the Cubs up 2-0. Then with two outs, Christopher Morel walked. I think he's coming around soon. I think Morel's about to bust out of this thing here.
Let's hope.
I got a feeling. And Mike Tauchman, the Palatine Pounder, hit a 3-run blast to make it 5-0. That was Tauchman's first home run of the season. Jordan Wicks did exactly what he said he needed to do on the last podcast. He attacked the hitters, didn't walk batters. He was efficient. And with this pitch count low, he was able to go deep into the game.
Absolutely right. No walks was huge, right?
Right. After giving up a two-out single in the first, Jordan sat down the next 8 Astro hitters. Unfortunately, with one out in the fourth, Kyle Tucker hit one deep to center that Cody Bellinger lost in the lights. And instead of an out, it counts as a double. Dustin, you know how much I hate that. It's like, if you should have the ball, if you lose it in the sun or the lights, that should be an error. I'm sorry.
Should be an error. No doubt. You're not going to get any argument here on that one.
So that happens. Constant double. After getting Bregman to ground out, Yennier Diaz doubled to deep center. Cody got to the ball. It hit off his glove and popped out as he slammed against the brick wall. And the Astros were on the board as the Cubs still led 5-1. But that brick wall and Cody Bellinger, that's an issue we're going to have to talk about in a little bit.
Right. But can we talk about that for a little bit right this second? Yeah, I mean, sure. Now, slammed against the brick wall. Did they not do a good job showing replay on that? I mean, the ball hits off his glove. It then bounces on the wall. Then he kind of touches the wall. Then he comes up with the ball. And if you turned away for a second, you almost thought that he tipped it back to himself, but it did hit the wall. I mean, I thought there was some other play that I missed. I didn't think that was the play because he stays in the game.
Yeah, he stayed in the game, and he didn't think it was a big deal at the time. He made a joke that night, you know, you better check the wall, see how it's doing.
Right. I like the little jab at the wall, right?
Right. So, I mean, you know, it's, you know how baseball is. Sometimes it just freak injuries occur, and this is just going to go down as one of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, right. They've been bit by a couple of these types of things. But, okay, let's keep moving along.
Yeah, they got another run in the fifth on a Jake Meyer solo home run to make it 5-2. Those were the only two runs Wicks allowed as he pitched his first quality start of the season. 6 innings pitch, gave up 2 runs on 5 hits, 4 Ks.
And no walks.
All caps. Yes. No walks. If Belly didn't lose that light ball in the lights, it would have been 1 run on 4 hits. Leiter and Almonte finished it up without getting a run. The Cubs loaded the bases in the sixth with 1 out, but only scored 1 run on a Nico ground out to make it 6-2. And then Mike Tauchman hit his second home run. Both of them were Oppo Tacos to make it 7-2. And that's how the game would end. But Dustin, as great as the game was, you always love beating the Astros like a garbage can 7-2. but Bellinger come out of the game in the seventh with his ribs bothering him. You know, that was the frustrating thing, you know, that you're just sitting there going to yourself, man, you know, just what happened? You know, I'm just,
yeah, you were crossing your fingers saying you hope that wasn't what it was, but unfortunately that's what it was.
Do you remember when in 2016, when Kyle Schwarber, it was like that first week, he hurt his leg and you were just hoping like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. He was kind of walking off, you know, with a little bit of help, and Then you found out he was out for the year.
Yeah, but I mean that kind of looked bad, right? I mean, just if you're comparing those two instances, that actually looked bad. Where I thought there was something else that happened that we didn't catch.
I think when you're talking about the cold and a brick wall, and they're showing it in slow motion, right? And so you could see when he goes into the wall, it jostles him.
So what do you think? Put some padding on the wall and let the ivy grow through it, or what?
It's just a freak injury. I'm not changing anything for that.
Okay. But, I'm just checking. It was a topic of conversation today on the Mully and Haw show for about 30 seconds.
They've already changed enough around Wrigley. I don't want it to be messed around with anymore.
Right,
but
you're done with all the changes. Okay. I understand.
Cody had an 8-game winning streak and he was 5-for-14 with 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. So you just hate to lose it, Dustin, because he was just getting warmed up. He was just getting hot.
Yeah, he was just getting hot. Yep.
So frustrating, but that takes us to game 2, Jameson Taillon versus Spencer Arrigetti. Now, we talked about the pitching injuries plaguing the Astros in the last episode. Arrigetti was called up on Sunday. He's a 2021 draft pick by the Astros. He pitched 2 games for the Astros coming into the game for the Cubs. He gave up 7 runs in 3 innings against a strong Royals team, but did better in a second start against the Braves. He went 4 innings pitch and gave up 2 runs on 4 hits. And then he was sent back to the minors. So this was his third career start, and the Cubs countered with Jameson Taillon making his second start of the season. And Dustin, I'm at the game. The Cubs get to Arrigetti right away. Nico Horner and Ian Happ single to put runners at the corners. Michael Busch with a sac fly to make it 1-0. Great at bat. He was down 0-2, fought back to 2-2, and he got the run across, which is, you know, making contact, right? Christopher Morel walked, and then Dansby Swanson hit a 3-run blast to left field, and the Cubs were up 4-0, feeling good. The Astros are awful in the first inning. They have given up more first inning runs than games played. So
wow, that's pretty amazing, huh? That's some stat. I mean, that's almost like White Sox-ish with their 22nd loss earlier today.
Right. And so the Astros didn't get their first hit off Jameson Taillon until the third inning, but he ran into some bad luck. He gave up a leadoff single to John Singleton, and then he walked Victor Caratini. Jake Myers bunted to move the runners over, but the throw from Taillon popped out of Bush's glove, and the Astros were on the board 4-1 on the error was charged to Bush.
Yep.
He got Jose Altuve to strike out for the first big out, and runners at the corner, but Alex Bregman hit one that went off Taillon's glove. Nico tried to barehand it after the deflection. Another run scored, and the Cubs' lead was cut in half, 4-2. The worst part is, Dustin, if Taillon doesn't try to catch it, Nico's right perfectly positioned for a double play to get out of that inning. It would have been 4-1, you know? But
yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's a couple of pitcher plays in this series, and sometimes you wonder, should they coach the guys to just let the balls go through? You don't need an injury. You don't need anybody tumbling. And, you know, these infielders seem to have a better feel sometimes for it than the pitchers.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, you know, the infielder is going to make the play. It happened today against the Astros. The same thing happened to the Astros, you know?
Right.
So Taillon would strike out Yordan Alvarez and get Kyle Tucker to fly out 10, the threat. But after that first big inning, Dustin, I'm thinking they're going to knock Arrigetti out of the game. He settled down. The Cubs didn't do much. Canario singled in the second. Morel singled in the third. The Cubs loaded the bases in the fourth with 2 out, and Arrigetti's day was done. And Sean Dubin came in. Dubon came into the game and got Ian Happ to strike out swinging. So Arrigetti went 3.2 innings, gave up 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks, but 7 Ks. But the Astros bullpen shut the Cubs offense down as the Cubs had only 1 base runner from the 5th through the 8th inning. A Mike Tauchman single in the 7th that was immediately wiped out by an Ian Happ double play. So Dustin, this one's getting me nervous because it's one of those games where score a bunch early and then nothing else, you know?
Right, right. Those are the kinds you hate. You got to hang on for dear life. You got to go to the pen. Everybody's got to work their magic.
Now I'm looking at Jameson Taillon. He looks strong again. Like I said, 5.2 innings. He gave up 2 runs, only one of them earned because of the Busch error on 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He got the first 2 outs in the 6th, but Victor Caratini, who I think is making it his life's goal to torture the Cubs no matter who he plays for, he doubled and Taillon was through, and Council called on the beleaguered reliever, Albert Alzolay. And Dustin, I thought I heard you cussing all the way from the suburbs on that.
Yeah, it's just I didn't understand. I mean, I'm not saying that Albert Alzolay should be put out to the Iowa Cubs or the Tennessee Smokies or the South Bend Cubs, anything like that. But like, wait a minute. Now, so we went from giving him the ball for a four out save to coming in the sixth. I don't get it. I mean, somebody's got to explain it to me. And what happens is when it ends up not mattering because the Cubs went on to win this game, you know, the Cubs sweep the Astros. We're not giving away the story. Like, it doesn't get brought up, but I'm curious.
Well, I thought I heard you cursing even louder when Alzolay hit the first batter. He faced Jake Meyers with a pitch to put the tie.
No, that was Tommy Hotovy. That was Tommy Hotovy you heard from the dugout.
But Dustin, I mean, I think the thing is, and I think Council knows it, is somehow, some way, they got to get this guy jump started. He has to be a part of this team. And sure, for whatever reason, sure, I don't know how much of it is physical. I'm sure there's that component. We talked about his pitches not really getting as much horizontal movement and how much of it is in between the ears. But right, he's got to be able, you know, they're going to have to count on them. So I think Craig Council is a guy that plays the long game, and that's what, you know, he's hoping that Alzolay could get out of it without any damage and hopefully just get a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And he,
yeah, I mean, it should have been confidence building at the end of the day.
Right. And luckily Alzolay got Altuve to fly out to end the threat. He came out in the seventh and got Alex Bregman to fly out. And Council called on Luke Little to face a pair of lefties in Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker. A little controversy, Dustin.
Yeah.
Luke came out and
these always make me laugh, these things.
Right. They're checking for the sticky substances. You know, they check the hat, they check the inside of the glove and the forearm and stuff. But the umpire noticed that Luke had an American flag patch on the glove that and there's some white on it. So the ump told him he had to swipe it out for a different glove because they didn't want anything that's a distraction. So they don't want any white really on the glove to affect
now, do
the
you
hitter.
Think does the umpire notice that and get involved immediately? Or do you think that the Astros bench is chirping about it? How do you think that goes down?
No, I don't. I honestly think because it's not like he threw a pitch yet or they had seen it. You know what I mean?
So right. I just wondered. Well, he had thrown the warm-up pitches, right? At least that probably.
I'm trying to remember exactly.
I kind of walked away for a second and came back and I heard them talking about it. I wasn't quite sure how it, you know, went down.
I think what ends up happening is that in that situation, yeah, I think they saw the glove first. I don't think any of the Astros said anything. It was just something that you don't see usually on a glove. And so that was it. So they're like, okay,
that was the indicator.
That's my understanding, but you know, it's funny because Luke Little tweeted this out later. Proud to be an American. Go Cubs, go with Hulkamania, with Hulk Hogan playing the guitar, the American flag guitar.
I love that.
Giant American flag.
I love that. I love when
but
I
guys,
saw
it. Let's not make this a big deal. This is not, the umpires don't hate America. This is just something that they're very careful to do. They don't want the other team complaining that there's an advantage. I know people are going to try to make a big deal out of it, but it truly is not a big deal. So I would say let's not make
all right, nothing to see here. Move along. Okay. you don't need to see any identification. Move along.
Mark Leiter Jr. comes into the game to the eighth. He gave a back-to-back singles, a force out by John Singleton, put runners at first and third with one out when Cubs killer Victor Caratini hit a line drive. Looked like it was going to score a run, but Christopher Morel made a leaping catch to save a run. Leiter got Jake Meyers to strike out to end the threat. He's yelling. And just like we talked about in the last episode, Dustin, Hector Neris would come on to close out the game against his former team. And the first batter he faced, Jose Altuve, crushed one into the bleachers to make it a one-run game, 4-3. But that's how it would end, with Neris getting Bregman to ground out, Alvarez to strike out, and Tucker to line out to end the game, 4-3. The Cubs were out-hit, Dustin, by the Astros, 10-8. But Houston was 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position and left 10 men on base. So every now and then, Dustin, it's good that it happens to the other side.
Yeah, you're never going to win like that, that's for sure. But that one was a little too close for comfort after the Cubs jumped out to that 4-0 lead in the first inning.
Yeah, and so that takes us to game three. The Cubs are going for the sweep. It is future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander going up against Javier Assad. Dustin, PCA got his first start of the 2024 season against the future Hall of Famer. PCA was 4 years old, 2 months and 23 days when Justin made his first career start at Wrigley Field in 2006.
Isn't that amazing? That is amazing.
Verlander also started at Wrigley in 2012 when the opposing starter, Javier Assad, was only 12 years old. So time flies, Dustin, time flies. But with all those weird stats, you knew it'd be a weird start to the game. Jose Altuve leads off. He hits a foul ball that breaks his bat and almost impales Nick Madrigal, who's running for his life. The ball was catchable, but it lands untouched. Then Altuve got a new bat and hit a single up the middle to Nico Horner with an exit velocity of 57 miles per hour. And the speedy Altuve, he's always hustling, Dustin.
Right, he
beats it out. And then Alex Breckman singled to put runners at the corners, and Yordan Alvarez hit a sac fly to make it 1-0. And this is when you and I are texting. The Cubs load the bases with a single by Nico and two walks by Bush Talkman and Ian Happ. But right. Michael Bush and Swanson both struck out, and Madrigal lined out to end the threats. But the Cubs did make Verlander throw 39.
And you were very observant on that. They really jacked up that pitch count in that inning, no doubt about it.
Right. And so from the second through the fifth, Javier Assad mowed down the Astros. He just gave up one walk. Ran into a little trouble in the sixth, but again, it was all cheap stuff. With one out in the sixth, Alex Bregman hit one that landed right in between Nico, Bush, and Talkman. One of those perfectly placed balls that just got past the infield. Assad got Yordan Alvarez to fly out for the second out. And then Kyle Tucker hit an infield single that just barely stayed fair. It went off the glove of Michael Bush, like just off the tip of the glove. And Assad's day was done. He went 5 2/3 inning, gave up 4 hits, 2 infield singles, Dustin, and one that just got past the infield. He gave up 1 run on 5 Ks with just 1 walk. And Hayden Wesniewski came on to finish the inning. But Dustin, I mean, you're talking about, it's a game of inches. He almost had another quality start. There's no way you can take Assad out of the rotation at this point.
Not right now. Nope, not right now. I mean, you can if it's Justin Steele, right? I mean, somebody's eventually going to have to take it out of this rotation. When Justin Steele's coming back, and Justin Steele's going right back in where he belongs, right? So somebody's got to come out, and let's hope that somebody isn't somebody that's hurt.
Right. Unfortunately, the Cubs' offense, other than Nico and Mike Talkman, looked awful for the first half of the game. In the first inning, the Cubs loaded the base with no outs, couldn't score, right? We talked about that. In the third, Nico double and Talkman walked. You had 2 on and no outs, and the Cubs couldn't score. Then in the bottom of the fifth with 1 out, Nico single and Talkman walked again, and they couldn't score. So from the first to the fifth, the only hitter to reach base other than Nico and Talkman was that Ian Happ walk in the first. Everyone else was 0-for. But the one thing the team did do is elevate Verlander's pitch count. We talked about that massive first inning, and he threw 95 pitches in just his second start back from injury in 4.1 innings. He didn't give up a run. He gave up 3 hits, all of them to Nico Horner, 3 walks, all of them to Mike Talkman, and had 7 Ks. So
all or nothing with him right now, right?
Right. It was just those two guys with the entire Cubs offense. So with Verlander out and Nico and Talkman, on in the fifth, they were replaced by Rafael Montero. Now, Rafael Montero gets the next 2 outs, but then he's going to come back in the bottom of the sixth, and Dansby Swanson starts it off. He leads off with a single, steals second base. Nick Madrigal singles on a ground ball to second. That was the one that was deflected by Montero. So if he would have let that go, it would have advanced the runner, but instead the runner scores because of that deflection, and Madrigal safe at first. Now, unfortunately, Miguel Amaya would fly out into a force out right after Kyle Tucker. But it was one of those things where it was kind of a goofy play. The ball is up and Tucker just cannot make the play. And so the run scores, but Nick Madrigal's in no man's land because he's thinking that Tucker's going to catch it. He doesn't, and Tucker guns it right to second. So Amaya's at first. Madrigal's out at second, and so the game is tied at 1. And then Brian Abreu comes on to replace Montero. Wild pitch advances Amaya to second, but it doesn't matter because Pete Crow Armstrong, in his first start of the season, hits his first home run at Wrigley Field to right center, 3-1. The Cubs take the lead just like that.
Yeah, pretty good for your first big league hit. Now, of course, you would have liked it to have come sooner, but pretty good way to get your first big league hit and your first big league home run all at the same times, and do it at Wrigley Field, and it ends up being the game-winning hit.
Wesniewski, though, too. How about him? Wesniewski is back. 2.1 innings, 0 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, and 1 K.
Painting the corners, Crowley. It might have been a little help from the umpire, but painting the corners.
I just thought he looked locked in. I wasn't thrilled that Neris came into the game in the ninth. I'll tell you that, because I thought like they were not picking up Wesniewski at all.
Right, but I think they want to get – this is – all signs point to Hector Neris trying to become the closer. So that's what they're trying to do. They need to put him in there. He needs to get used to it. He needs to be able to do this consecutive days, right? It's a day game, you know, coming off the night. So this is part of the gig. So let's see if you can do it. So well, far,
got a little nerve wracking there, Dustin, right? Because
of course it did, because that's, I mean, name the Cubs closer that was just lights out and you never had to worry about it. I mean, it's just like, it's like the history of the Cubs.
Back to back walks in the ninth, the 3-1 lead, the tying runs at first base, the winning runs at home, but Neris is able to get out of it. The Cubs are able to sweep. Dustin, I do have a couple thoughts though here about this series. Is that the injuries plaguing this team are difficult. Houston's got them. We're going to talk about Boston. Boston has them. A lot of injuries. But I just want people to understand that baseball is different than a lot of sports. I know you're excited for the NFL draft tonight and Caleb Williams coming to the Bears. I know people were very excited to see Connor Bedard on the Hawks. You know, and even in basketball, any other sport, you can come instantly into the league and make a difference. Baseball is unique in that a lot of times it takes years to get to the major leagues. And once you get there, it's hard to stay there. And you're going to see these young players, whether it's PCA, whether it's Canario, whether it's Bush, whether it's Matt Mervis, who had a tough, you know, series. These guys are going to go through there's ups and downs. And it doesn't mean they're bums or they need to go back to Iowa or this, that, or the other. Sometimes it's just trying to figure it out. So I would just say, have patience as these young guys are trying to work their way through it. I saw PCA in the minors, okay? I've seen a lot of these guys, you know, Wesniewski. I've seen, you know, go ahead and just go down the list. I've seen pretty much every top 30 prospect in the Cubs system. And the reason they're top 30 prospects, they're really good. But that doesn't mean they're going to succeed. But you have to give them a chance. And if you're going to sit there and boom at the field or piss and moan about them on whatever platform you choose to, just keep in mind, man, that these guys are trying to do their best and give them a little time to get their feet wet. This is a difficult thing to do, to have to go up against Justin Verlander, future Hall of Famer, when you're just up from AAA. I mean, just give it some time, man. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I agree. You have to give it some time, but it's hard, right? We're fans and it means we're fanatical and we want things to happen right now, right damn now.
I wish it worked that easy. And you, like I said, every now and then, for every Ronald Acuna you see, there's 100 other guys that either struggle but then figure it out, or they struggle and they don't. And that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely right. Those are really good observations from you, Crowley, on this series. And boy, if you would have told me that the Astros were going to have the type of record that they have right now, I would have said not a chance. I mean, very interesting. You know, we talked about it as we previewed this podcast about how the skipper for the Astros is somebody that was in the running for the gig when they went ahead and gave it to David Ross instead. And I think he thought he was walking into a ready-made team. Well, not so much. The only team in the American League, Crowley, right now who has a worse record than the Astros, the White Sox.